Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, in retrospect, I think this was exactly the type of game the Patriots needed to win against the Giants to kind of break that curse, if you will. It just proves that, you know, sometimes the Patriots can get lucky, too, against that team.
Make sure you got the paddles ready, that kind of game.
Oh, well, listen.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, they were hovering by me, you know, the paramedics, first responders.
But it was great in the end, wasn't it? You enjoyed it immensely when
you were exhilarated.
Listen, I would have preferred a blowout. But I'll tell you.
We're never going to win now.
It was phenomenal, Fred.
It was phenomenal. And like I said, you know, if you're going to get over the hump of a team that always seems to get the breaks against you, that was the way to do it.
Right. They didn't get the break. You got a couple. You could have thrown a pick. He drops it. It all came together nicely. But in the end, I liked how Coach Belichick put it. It had a little bit of everything. There were good plays, dumb plays, mistakes, great physical play, you know, superstars making plays, Beckham, Gronkowski. Everything. It had everything in it.
What a fourth quarter.
It was a heavyweight bout.
Yes.
But what a fourth quarter. You get the 76-yard touchdown for Gronk. You get the 54-yard completion to LaFell. Then the Giants turn around and pick a pass off from Brady. I mean, when does Brady throw that kind of an interception on the goal line? And then you have the Giants taking the ball and going, 92 yards to the 5-yard line and kicking the go-ahead field goal. Fourth and 10, the interception that you talked about. I mean,
Paul even got a controversial call. He likes to rip the officials, so he even got that to fill out.
Well, I'm not even so much with the officials. You know, I'm a stickler for clock management. Tom Coughlin flunked my course there. And just all those things happened just in the fourth quarter.
Tremendous. Right. Tremendous.
And so there were a lot of oddities, a lot of great plays. But at the end of the day, I think the Patriots coming back recognized that this was a grind. We stepped up. Once again, you have a battered offensive line. You know, you're needing Gronkowski to play, you know, the extra tackle as much as he did tight end.
Right.
Edelman, you lose him in the first half, which is the security blanket besides Gronk for Brady in a game like that. And yet they managed to pull it out. And I think that's what they're going to take away from it, is that guys just stepped up and we needed everybody.
Yeah, I would say the epitome of a guy stepping up is Danny Amendola. You know, he has an Edelman-like key big punt return, which Edelman has always had a knack for that, when you need one to kind of swing the field, do whatever, even though Daron Harmon tripped him up at the end.
It's all right. They got seven.
And then in the passing game, he has an efficient day, 10 catches, 11 targets. It's fourth down. You need a drive. And where's Brady going? Danny Amendola. So that whole thing we've talked about him, the confidence, the made man, the rapport. Danny Amendola is a key part of this team, whether he's the guy or whether he's the guy behind Edelman. He is here to stay as a key part of this offense for this year.
Where do you guys stand on Edelman? You know, the offense clearly took a hit. Now, it's always different when an injury happens mid-game.
Right.
Because you didn't get a chance to prepare for not having that guy as part of the offense. But could this be a breaking point?
Or no. It could.
Nope.
Listen.
Nope.
It depends on whether Vollmer and Cannon come back.
Well, then no. Then that's the issue. The offensive line is the issue.
Well,
or I think you can even lump the passing back in there. The first game post Deion Lewis was not impressive for Brandon Bolden and James White.
No, if Cannon and Vollmer come back, it's still a challenge because you lost one of your key weapons. But if they don't in short time, I mean,
well, if they don't come back, then that's the issue. The offensive line, the pressure. Brady was under pressure. You had strip sacks that were putting the ball on the ground. They lost one. They recovered one. You had others where he was getting hit as he threw and the ball's kind of floating in the air. They, for a Giants team that came in and everybody laughed that they can't get pressure on the Patriots, literally, we talked in the pregame show to a writer from New York who laughed at us when we asked if that defensive front could take advantage of the O-line, and they did. Yeah. JPP made some plays. They got in Brady's mug, and that, I think, as much as the Edelman injury, took him out of his game a little bit. He wasn't quite on.
Right.
And that's what the issue is.
But when you have that issue, having Edelman helps
a
little bit. But by not having him, it accentuates that flaw.
The issue is the cumulative effect. If you got 10% worse when Deion Lewis went down, and then you got 10% worse when Edelman goes down, well, now that margin of error, where you're the best offense in football, a couple weeks ago we were saying this team rolls out of bed and scores 30 against anybody. I'm not sure that's the case anymore, but they should be good enough to score enough points to win.
Considering the competition.
Sure.
Right?
Well, that's the other part of the equation.
Well,
you don't have to break records,
pretty
you
weak,
just have to win games.
It was pretty weak competition this week on the defensive side. On the defensive side only. Now, I think the Giants have a good offense, and that was a different story. But I agree with you. I don't think it's a difference maker necessarily in the win-loss column, but it certainly is going to impact the offense. And you saw some of that.
Well, I think
Sunday.
Part of that is, you know, I know Coughlin, he failed your clock management test, but he's a smart
coach.
Does
he have to give his Super Bowl rings back because of that?
No, he's a smart coach, and he knew the state of the Patriots offensive line. And even given the fact that the Giants were the worst team getting at the quarterback, he knew they could be exploited. He wasn't going to give up on that. And I'm sure that they were coached up before the game on that very fact, you know, and probably challenged them. If you can't get to Brady in this game, then, you know.
Well, I think they did as good a job of attacking the Patriots' weaknesses as anybody.
Sure.
You just said it, the offensive line. You know what else was not very good? The secondary not named Malcolm Butler.
Right.
Butler did his job against Odell Beckham, but Logan Ryan, Melvin, McCourty, all of them,
Coleman.
Justin Coleman, Jonathan Freeney filling in for Collins, that pass defense was putrid. And instead of guys running free and then dropping the ball, or guys running free and the quarterback missing it, the Giants took advantage of those plays. And I give the Giants credit for doing that.
Well, say what you want about Rex Ryan, but he's another smart coach, so another big test coming up Monday night.
We talked a little bit about Malcolm Butler earlier in the show, but I think it's worth revisiting because what I saw against the Giants on Sunday was what a lot of other people have been talking about all year that I haven't seen, and that was a number one corner really stepping up in a big spot against a very, very good wide receiver in Odell Beckham Jr. I thought the competition level was at an all-time high. I love the way they interacted, you know, the pats on the behind and the pats on the head, the talk after the game. Even after giving up an 87-yard touchdown, Butler never stopped competing. Obviously, that play wasn't his fault, but the rest of the game, he was outstanding. The Patriots may very well have that number one corner that everybody's been talking about. It's been a little bit of a quiet year for Rob Ninkovich, the defensive end outside linebacker, does a lot of stuff for the New England Patriots, and run stuffing is one of the things that he does best, but he also gets after the passer. It's been a little bit quiet, but on Sunday, a huge play right in the thick of things for the Giants when they had a chance to get a two-score lead there late in the third quarter. He comes up with a huge sack, a 13-yard loss for Eli Manning, and that was really big. I thought that set the tone for the rest of the way. We saw him step up big in a similar spot against the Jets. So the two teams that they had really competitive games with, the Patriots got huge contributions from Ninkovich. Again, been a little bit quiet, but he still has that big game, that big-time playmaking ability in the clutch. I've been raving about the Patriots special teams all year. It's time to really give Joe Judge a lot of credit here. He was replacing Scott O'Brien, a very popular, very talented assistant coach as the special teams coach. And really, the Patriots have been better on special teams. It seems every week we're talking about huge plays that change the course of the game, different kinds of plays. This week it was a punt return for Danny Amendola, an 82-yarder. I thought that completely changed the tenor of the game. Pat's trailing 20-10 at the time. He takes it down to the 7-yard line. Probably should have had a touchdown. Listen, it's time to give Joe Judge his due. Thumbs up to Joe.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You did, you know, sort of have an interest in maybe going to space someday.
I'd probably do it, yeah.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week from a crazy one in New York. Here's Brandon LaFell's big catch toward the end of the game. It's about time the Patriots got one of these. Here's a good shot of Rob Gronkowski helping out on JPP. And finally, the kicker doesn't always get into images of the week, but here's Steven Gostkowski with his game winner.
Player's Perspective. Brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joined this week by Patriots tackle Cameron Fleming. Cameron, obviously a lot of mixing and matching up in, up front in that offensive line. What has the whole process been like when you're sort of not really sure who's going to be a part of the group every week?
I think it's just important to stay focused, and we all know what to do, and we all are ready to play if we're called upon. So I think it's just all about being prepared.
Now, for you, you're a guy that almost all of your experience, you told us, was on the right side, and you're forced into action on the left side. Just what exactly makes that a difficult transition? What are some of the things specifically that make it a little bit different, difficult to switch sides?
I think the basic thing is you just got to flip everything in your head. You got to flip your stance. You got to flip the calls. I mean, things that were going away are now coming towards you, and so on and so forth.
Does it make it difficult when, you know, some guys are out, some guys are in, and you don't know exactly from week to week what that lineup is going to be like? You haven't really, I guess, established that five-man cohesion. Does that make it a little bit more difficult?
I don't think so. I mean, we're a unit as an offensive line. Everybody in the room knows what to do. We all have to make sure we're accountable to each other, no matter who's next to us. So, I mean, we do it like that. We do our job.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about the tight end work that you did last year. You were the tight end eligible a lot of times during your rookie season. Did that help you at all, sort of, with the switching sides? Because I would imagine when you're playing tight end, it's not always on one side. Did that help the transition at all?
I don't know. I think it helped me grasp offense a little bit more, but I'm not sure if it helped me switching sides or not.
Okay, before I let you go, I do have to ask you, the Stanford grad and the aeronautics and astronautics major, but you were 1 inch too tall. Is that right, to be an astronaut?
1 inch too tall. Yeah, the cutoff's 6'4".
Are you at all able to apply that in any way, or is it just now, no time for the books, just football?
Right now, no, it's all football.
But you did, sort of have an interest in maybe going to space someday if that avenue presented itself?
I mean, if somebody offered it to me, I'd probably do it, yeah.
Well, Tom Brady's glad he's here because he's protecting his blind side. That's Cameron Fleming.
As we look at this matchup with Rex Ryan's Bully Bills, who are feeling good about themselves with two straight wins, it's about the running game from the New England perspective. Patriots, number two run defense in the National Football League, have held opponents below 4 yards a carry for four straight games here. The Bills, number two rushing attack in the league. They are much better than they were the first time around. LeSean McCoy has settled in with Buffalo, almost 5 yards a carry, and Carlos Williams over 6 yards a carry. Big challenge for the Patriots front. Moving on in this matchup, two teams that take care of the football. Patriots plus 6, Bills plus 5 in turnover differential. But the Patriots have been a little loose with the football of late. Only 3 giveaways in the first 7 weeks, 4 in the last 2 weeks, and we know there were a couple others that could have been giveaways. Patriots need to do a better job with the football than they've done in the last 2 weeks and get back to their early season form. And finally, if you take care of business on the ground and shut the run down, it's about Tyrod Taylor. Make him beat you. The interesting thing is, the first-year starter has been very good at times this season. 4th in the NFL with a 106 passer rating. He leads the league in completion percentage, over 70%, but he's at the bottom of the league in both attempts and completions. Why? They don't want him to have to throw the football. Make him beat you through the air. He spreads it around. He has weapons. He has Sammy Watkins. But can he beat you? That's the question. Gillette Stadium, Monday night.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
So you are scared.
I'm not afraid.
You don't think you can beat the Giants?
I'm not afraid of
any
team.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I truly thought this is the year the Bengals would live up to their potential. It was certainly looking that way until Monday night. After his anemic 10-6 loss to the Texans, Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton was more upset about a comment made by J.J. Watt than losing the game. Watt said afterwards that his team's goal was to make the Red Rifle look more like the Red Ryder BB gun, and they did. Nothing could be more true, but Dalton was beside himself, said Watt showed who he really was, and that he must not care about the integrity of the game. If a comment like that is going to get under Dalton's skin, how would he handle the pressure of going for 16-0? Well, he won't have to worry about that now, thanks to his BB-like performance. By the way, I love the Red Ryder BB gun. Watt disrespected my favorite toy more than he did Dalton.
I'm going to look around the NFL here, and it's hard to ignore what's going on in Denver and, to a lesser extent, in St. Louis. But I'm going to start with Peyton Manning. This is a very sad ending. The cliche is it's Willie Mays. It's one of the all-time greats going out long past his prime when he is no longer serviceable. Now the injuries are really catching up with him. But Wes Welker, also in St. Louis, has really got me concerned. He had 3 catches in his first game as a Ram. I'm just concerned about the overall health of both of these guys. 2 good, solid careers. Obviously, Manning, a much higher level and a Hall of Famer. But Welker did so many great things here with the Patriots that we all remember. I just think it's time for both of them to step aside, call it a career, because right now, neither one of them are capable of doing much help for their team.
I'll be quite honest, I don't like what's going on in Houston with Bill O'Brien, and it's nothing about the losing. He's going through a tough season. It happens. But now he's being connected to interest in the University of Maryland head coaching job. Kevin Plank, founder of Under Armour, apparently would like to bring O'Brien on and bring that program back to the heights of college football. I don't like it. Bill O'Brien, you are better than that. You were only at Penn State for 2 years, and now the going gets tough in Houston, and you want to go to Maryland? You need to stay in Houston, finish the job. Maybe this is a power play. Maybe they're throwing money at you. Stay with the Texans, get the job done, prove who you are as a man and a coach.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Giants and the Patriots just gave us a fifth straight game that came down to the wire and was fun. So, Paul Perillo, do you want to see a sixth on Super Bowl Sunday?
Not a chance. Why do you want to go through that again? I've seen the Giants. I've seen what happens when those two teams go. Yeah, it was a great game. Absolutely a great game. Keep that to the regular season. And this is not about being afraid.
Seems like it.
Listen, the Patriots, I think, can beat anybody in football. They've proven that over the last 15 years.
So then why not have the most entertaining game?
Because I don't like the matchups. The matchups, for whatever reason, Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning, they're able to get up and play against the Patriots. And Eli Manning plays very well against the Patriots. He's not going to be afraid. I'll take somebody else.
It's the perfect opponent for Super Bowl Sunday. Why? Because you're almost guaranteed a great game. Because Patriots-Giants, great games. Patriots and Super Bowls, great games. So everybody's happy at the networks and around the country at the Super Bowl party. And for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, you can get the final monkey off your back. You got it a little bit off your back on Sunday. You beat them in the regular season. But now keep that perfect season alive. Finish that perfect season by getting Coughlin and Manning, sending them home.
That's not important to me, getting any monkey off my back.
It's a monkey. It's like Steve Young. Remember that old off the back?
And I still make fun of that. That was ridiculous. And you know I'm not a huge fan of Steve Young. So
okay,
we get that thrown in there. What was wrong with the Rams Super Bowl? What was wrong with the Panthers Super Bowl? What was wrong with the Seahawks Super Bowl last year? Were those not exciting enough for you?
It was great, but there's
those
no
games
guarantee
were fantastic. They went
that
right
you're
down
gonna
the line.
Get a great
oh, so
game.
It's
this
a guarantee.
Feels like a guarantee.
It's a guarantee for the Giants.
Manning,
it's not a guarantee
Brady.
For the Patriots in the Super Bowl against anybody.
No,
be a
it
great
isn't.
Game.
It feels like
well,
it
they
could
always
be.
Are.
I think they would roll over a team like the Panthers. I don't think they could match up. Riverboat Ron and Cam Newton, you're not matching up. We know that Coughlin and Manning match up. It would be a fun game. It's Tom Brady at home.
So all you want to see is a close game.
No, I want to see a great game because you know what sports is about. It's about putting something out there, feeling some anxiety, and then boom, winning in the end. And that's what you got on Sunday in New York. You got fear. You put something in there, and boom, you finished
it. I don't know why the
you
Giants.
Might.
I don't
you
know
might.
Why
you might.
You're not any more guaranteed to get it from the Giants than anybody
you
else.
You just said yourself, it's a matchup. It's a matchup a matchup that delivers.
But that's why I would rather play a team that I am a little bit more confident in with the matchups.
So you
and,
are
and
scared.
Whatnot. I'm not afraid.
You don't think you can beat the Giants?
I'm not afraid of any team.
Interesting.
There's no teams in this league.
Fear in your voice and
eyes. The Patriots are going to be favored over the Giants by how much?
Yes, and they're going to win.
By a touchdown.
And it's going to be the greatest Super Bowl ever, and the world will rejoice, and everybody will need to take a day off the next day because it'll be the greatest Super Bowl ever for the second year in a row, thanks to Brady, the Patriots, and kicking the Giants' butt.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time for your questions and also the Wilson Hart Power Index. Andy, take it away.
Freddie. Not surprising, the Patriots win. They stay atop at 9-0. Nice little distance there as the number one team. Interestingly, as you get ready for the Buffalo Bills on Monday night, are you surprised that they're the number six team in the Wilson Hart Power Index? Now, there's a significant drop-off from five. I will say that. The Green Bay Packers at five, there's a big drop-off there. There's five real solid teams, and then the Bills are next in line. But I think that's an interesting top 10 matchup. Rex is getting it done, right?
Okay, let's get to the questions. This first one comes from Chew Snow, and he says, do you see Brandon LaFell becoming a bigger part of the game? He had two catches on Sunday, now with Edelman out.
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. He's going to hit his midseason stride later than everybody else because he missed the first 6 weeks on PUP. And yes, as you lose options and trusted targets like Deion Lewis, like Julian Edelman, I think LaFell is one of those trusted targets that Brady will start to look two more often.
You know, one real quick thing, getting downfield, making some big plays, getting behind the defense, which is an element of the offense that was lacking before. He has big catches in the last two games.
Okay, Tony Toro asks, focusing on Edelman, with him out, he says, wouldn't it make sense to add, in addition to the current injury slots, a six-week IR slot to address such incidents, which could be used anytime during the season?
Well, they sort of have that with the short-term IR. You can use that anytime you want. The Patriots chose to use it at the start of the year with Brian Stork. I tend to agree. I think there should be some sort of a disabled list similar to baseball where, you know, you can get guys, you know, there's a punishment. There's a penalty there to have. You can't just, you know, play with your roster. Edelman's going to miss significant time. You can't just do it for 2 weeks and then, you know, go on and off. But I kind of like the idea. You know, I think that right now it would be great to be able to get that roster spot and put Edelman on, you know, whatever you want to call it, six-week disabled list. I love that idea.
I think one of the most frustrating things for fans who follow the NFL is injuries.
So no question.
Whatever they can do in that regard, I think it would be
and
wise.
We're seeing more of them, and I know you have the inactive list, but a lot of teams, that inactive list is five, six, seven guys who aren't healthy scratches. They are all injured. And if you didn't have to use all those slots and you could bring in healthy players instead, because they're going to have to keep Edelman on the active roster.
Right. James Siegel says, was this the best team win, Sunday's win, or 60-minute win against the Giants this season? I guess he means, was this the best overall win for the Patriots this
definitely
season?
The best win against the Giants.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of subjective. I think that it was a terrific win for a lot of the reasons we've been talking about throughout the show. You know, they had a lot of reasons to sort of fold up the tent. They had some injuries that they came in with. They had more injuries that occurred during the game and yet found a way to make plays at the end. Jets game was similar. They were without Deion Lewis in that game, trailing in the fourth quarter. Brady rallies for two touchdown drives to win the game. Listen, when you're 9-0, I don't think you look at any of the wins and you say, well, that one's no good.
I was talking to Mike Reese after the game from ESPN Boston. He says this is
name
the
drop.
Best regular season win he's seen the Patriots have since he's been covering the team. I mentioned Tuna Bowl 1. I thought that was a great win. And remember that Rams game in St. Louis when Troy Brown had to play, cornerback? I mean, that was a great win, too. So there's been a lot of them.
And I like that one. I like the road games where the adversity hits. I think it's a little easier to overcome the adversity at home. But this team was banged up. They were on the road, and their nemesis was on the other side. They could have folded, and they didn't. They got it done.
All right, that's your questions for this week. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.